for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have given to us. Thank you for your power that is working in us. Thank you, Lord, for your strength that is equipping us to do your will always. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence that brings us victories in battles. Thank you, Lord. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for drawing us closer unto yourself. For no one can know you. No one can come to you except you have drawn them closer unto yourself. Thank you, Father. We also thank you for the prayers we have been praying and the results we have been seeing through those prayers. For helping us to pray by the utterances of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for changing our lives, changing our stories because of your faithfulness. Thank you, Father. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for great things we have learned from you in this ministry, especially through the Bible study classes we have been having, and through other programs we do in this ministry. Thank you for how you open our eyes to see your light, to see your truth, and to learn your ways. Thank you, Father. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that as we would be having this class session in your presence right now, minister to every heart that will be listening. Bless everyone with divine understanding. Let the trance of your word produce great knowledge and transformation in every life. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do more than we have asked. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. You know that we have been looking at part 4 of our teaching series. And you know that our teaching series is building a strong discerning spirit. Building a strong discerning spirit, or how to build a strong discerning spirit. And not only that, you know the part 4 is discerning the realms of witchcraft and demons. That is the title of part 4. Discerning the realms of witchcraft and demons. Now, first one was destroying witchcraft rituals and blood covenants. Now, I'm doing all this recap so that you can know where we have been coming from. And so that if you have missed any of the previous teachings, you can go and listen to them. They are on our website, and you can request for them also, and we will try to send them to you. Yeah. So the one we'll be looking at today is idolatry gives power to demons. Idolatry gives power to demons. That is what we will be looking at today. Remember that I said under the teaching I did on amplifiers and magnifiers of darkness. If you can remember, under that teaching, I said that demons or Satan, they need things that will amplify their strength, their power, their dominion. They need men to give them amplifiers. Yeah. They need something from humans for them to be stronger, for them to remain stronger than humans, for them to remain stronger than every other creatures on earth. So they need something from us. And I remember I said it then, that many people on earth, including Christians, they are always giving Satan amplifiers. Yeah, I remember I said it then, that many of us are always giving to devil what he needs to remain stronger than us, what he needs to rule over us. We always give devil what he needs to rule over us and to remain stronger, to remain in dominion over us. And those things are the amplifiers and magnifiers. Yeah. So, but what I'll be talking about today can also look like what I said on that topic. But there's a little difference. Yeah. So I said our topic tonight says idolatry gives power to demons. Yeah, so you can consider idolatry as an amplifier of darkness. That is, the more people have idols, the more people have idols, and the more people worship idols, the more demons get stronger. The more Satan gets stronger. Yeah. But the more people destroy their idols, forsake their idols, the more Satan loses his power over them. But many people don't know this. They actually thought that whatever gods or goddesses or idols they are worshipping, they thought it's helping them. But they never know that devil is using that system. more power, to become more powerful on earth and over mankind. Yeah, they use idolatry to draw more energy from people. Yeah, I don't know if you have heard that before. Many of all these clubhouses or parties, people go. I don't know the name they call those places. You know, those places where, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. I'm trying to be sure that the network is okay. Now, I believe you can hear me very clear right now. I said, I don't know the name they call those places. You know, places where people go and dance and shout and have fun, where they will invite worldly musicians, worldly singers, worldly artists, and they begin to sing all those worldly songs, and they begin to stir up the spirits of people through all those beats, all those hip hop beats, or whatever name they call the name of the beat, and then everybody begin to jump when they hear the beat. Everybody begin to jump, they begin to shout, they begin to dance. I don't know the name they call those places. Yeah, but I know they call it clubhouses or maybe concert. I don't know. Yeah, but you know the name they call those places. So that is also a form of idolatry. Yeah, so they begin to sing songs that will make people to be high in their spirits. And they'll be shouting, they'll be jumping, they'll be dancing. Yeah. That is a form of idolatry. And what is going on in the realm of the spirit, every time that happens, is that the energies, the life inside those people have been harvested, but it is unknown to them. Both the singer or the artist that is performing and the people that are dancing and shouting, there's a demon that is drawing their energies. Okay, let me say this. Every human being has a measure of life from God in their spirits. You know that the Bible told us that God breathed into the nostril of what he formed from the dust of the ground. And then that thing became a living soul. That form of man that was that God molded or created from the dust of the ground, you know, that form was lifeless until God breathed into that form. So Bible says man became a living being. Man became a living soul. And that life was so strong that that life continued throughout the generation of Adam. So everyone that is born from Adam and Eve, they have that life in them, even though that life was to make us live forever. You know the story in the Garden of Eden. So that life was to eventually lead us into eternal life, because God had no plan that man would die. But eventually, you know, we fell in the Garden of Eden and were cast out of the garden. Yeah. So if, even still with that fall, there was still a measure of that life in human that could still make us live up to, some people live up to 120 years, some people even live more than that, maybe 150. Yeah, so we are able to live long because of the breath that came from God into us. Yeah. So that is the energy I'm talking about. Yeah. And not only will this energy make us to live long, this energy in our spirits, every one of you, you have that energy inside of you. That energy will also make you to live a productive life. You'll be able to fulfill your purpose on it. You will have the strength to do everything God has called you to do for Him in the earth. That strength is in your spirit. Yeah, it's not in the food you eat, it's inside your spirit. Yeah, whatever we eat and drink only complements that strength. So that strength is in our spirit, the strength to do righteousness, to do things that pleases God, to do things that God wants us to do, the strength to reject evil and say no to evil and yes to good, yes to righteousness. That strength is inside spirit from the time we were born. So that is why God will not help anybody to repent, because God has given us that power to repent. That power is in our spirit. The power to say no to evil, no to darkness, and yes to light, yes to righteousness. So that power is inside of us. The power to determine and say, I want to do this. And then you eventually did it. Yeah, that is the energy, that's the power that is in your spirit. And that is what devil is sapping away from those people. But they don't know that that is what devil is draining out of their spirit. The power to be a man, to remain a man. You are a man when you have a will of your own that is functioning. When you can decide to do something and then you do it eventually, that means you are still a human. You are still a human because you can reject something and you know, and you remain in rejection concerning that thing. And then you can accept something and then you forever accept that thing. So that is what makes us human. Yeah, but now devil is draining that ability that is in us to be able to choose and to reject. Yeah, to be able to decide for something and not go back on that decision. So devil is sucking out that energy to do that. I mean the energy to do that. So that is why you see people today living like animals. They are human beings, but they are not different from animals. They have no will of their own. cannot make a decision and stay firm in that decision. Those people something I've been stolen from them. Yeah, that ability in their spirit, that energy has been stolen from them. Yeah, you see people that they don't even know what they want for their lives. Yeah. If this one says this is the way, go this way, they will just follow. And then another person comes, oh, it's no longer that way, it's this way. They'll just follow like that. You know, just like animals. You know, animals, you can just control them to go any direction. Yeah, even goats, you can control goats in as much as you are able to trick the goat with something it wants to eat. Yeah, you're able to offer something that the goat wants to eat, so the goat will just follow. Yeah, so that is the state of many people today. They have lost the life that is in them, the energy that is in their spirits. So now let me go back to where I was coming from. I said in places like clubhouses or show, a musical show or something like that, where they invite where they invite worldly singers, worldly musicians. I think they call it show, and then as they are performing those songs, the people begin to shout. They begin to, you know, jump. Yeah, as they are doing all of that, there's a demon there that is draining their energies, draining life away from them. So they are dying gradually. They are dying. And that is why the many of them keep going deep into darkness. Deep into sin, deep into addiction. Yeah, that is a form of idolatry. So idolatry gives power to demons. So when people worship something that is not God, that thing is an idol. And of course, that thing is a power generator to demons. That thing that people bow to, demons are able to get more powerful through those idols that people worship. I hope you get it. I'm going to be talking on different kind of idols that is common to many people in the Christendom. Many people in the church. I know that form of idolatry is not something hidden. Everybody know that one. So I'm not going to talk on that one. Everybody know about people that bow down to images, what else did they call it? Carved images or they're able to move, they're able to use something to mold, more like statues. Yeah, statues. Yeah. So you all know that people do that. So I don't need to be talking about that. Yeah. People bow down to trees. People bow down to different kind of things. Yeah. They bow down to the sun. They bow down to the moon, to the stars. People worship pictures. They worship statues. They worship carved wooden, wooden objects. Something they just carved from a wood. Yeah. So that one is common. That one is not hidden from any of you. You know about that. People worship ancestors, the spirits of the ancestors. So you know about all of those worship system, and you know that they are all idols, and you can't be a Christian and still be doing that. Yeah, so that's why I'm not talking about those ones. But there are some idols I want to talk about now that is common to Christians, to people in the body of Christ. Yeah, and you need to run away, or if I should say, you need to destroy such idols so that you can walk in victory as a child of God. And not only that, so that you can be the one ruling over demons, and not demons or witchcraft ruling over you. Yeah, so those are the ones we would look at very briefly. Number one is idols in the heart. Idols in the heart. That is the idols inside the heart of the man, inside the soul of the man, inside the mind of a man. Yeah, so we need to look at that, those kind of idols. Let us read Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel 14. I'm going to read verse 4 to 5. Ezekiel 14, verse 4 to 5. Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them. This is God talking to Ezekiel, the man of God. Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel, that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, how the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Verse 5. That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. God is saying that anybody that have set up idols in his heart, and through that have created a stumbling block for himself, and then that person now come to a prophet of God to ask for direction. God said here that he will answer that person according to the idols in his heart. Now, we can say that the prophet here in this New Testament dispensation mean the Holy Spirit? Yeah, because now we no longer go to prophets to hear from God. If you read Hebrews chapter 1, you will see that in the New Testament dispensation, we don't need prophets again to communicate with God. Of course, God still sent messages through his prophets. Yeah, but that is on God's own, on God's own decision, not on man's demands, not on your own demand. So if you are the type that you are always you are always looking for direction from a man of God, you are doing a very wrong thing. Yeah. You can look for advice, counsel, teachings. Yeah. But don't go to men of God asking that they tell you a message from God. Let God send them to you if he chooses. Yeah. Yeah. So that is why prophets in the New Testament, they don't prophesy except the Spirit is moving them to do that. Even the prophets in the Old Testament, they don't prophesy except the Spirit is moving them. But in the case of the Old Testament believers, they can go to prophets and say, I tell the prophet to help them hear from God. And because God knows that they don't have the ability to hear from him because the Holy Spirit is not in those people at that time. Yeah, so God will speak to the prophet to give them a message. Yeah, but it is not so in the New Testament because now every believer has the Holy Spirit in them. So God wants to talk to every believer one-on-one. Yeah. So if God will send him, if God will send a message to you through his prophet, that will be on God's choosing. That is if God chooses to. I don't know if I get to my point. That is if God feel like your faith cannot receive a particular message from him directly because you are still growing, so God will say, okay, I will give that message to my servant, and my servant will call you and tell you that God have said this concerning you. Yeah, so that is how the prophetic ministry is supposed to be in the New Testament. So it is wrong to go to prophets asking for a message. So it is wrong to say, man of God, prophesy. It is very wrong. It's an error. Yeah. It is wrong to actually ask for a message from prophets in this New Testament. Yeah, it is God that will send them to you, not you go to them, because God wants to have a personal relationship with you, personally, on your own. This is not the topic we are looking at, but I just feel like some of you have been doing it wrong, so I feel like, let me clarify it. Yeah. So then what is the job of prophets in this New Testament? Their job is to help you, to train you to know God personally, to hear from God personally. That's the number one job. And secondly, is to know God more. Yeah. So they teach things that God has given to them to tell the people. They preach messages God has given to them to tell the people. Yeah. So that is their job. To preach, to teach revelations and messages they have received from God, and then to train people to be able to know God better. That is the job of the New Testament prophets. Yeah. And also to receive some prophecies from heaven, especially prophecies that speaks concerning certain things in the lives of people. Not that the people will come, I believe you have seen the difference, not that the people will come and tell them to prophesy. Yeah, but that God, looking at those people and saying that maybe number one, they need confirmation. Maybe God has spoken to them in their own prayer closet. And then God realized that they need confirmation before their faith to be strong on what he told them personally on their own. So then the Spirit of God can come upon the prophet as he's ministering, and he will say the same thing God have told you personally. He will say the same thing while he's ministering. Or God realized that there are some things your own faith cannot receive from him. Some revelations, some instructions your own faith cannot receive from him. So then he will give it to the prophet and his ministry, and he will be able to speak those things. Yeah. So now you can see the difference that the difference is in the fact that prophets in the New Testament only complement what the Holy Spirit is meant to be doing inside people. They don't take the place. They must not, and they cannot take the place of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people. Yeah, and it's a pity that prophets today, they want to take the place of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers, instead of them to strengthen the believer's personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. They want to replace the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. So they want the people to be coming to them. They want the people to depend on them for revelations, for directions, for instructions. Yeah, they want people to be coming and ask them to prophesy. So that is wrong. So the prophets in the New Testament, their work is just to complement what the Holy Spirit is doing in the lives of people. Yeah, just to add to it. And they are adding to it because the people, they are not yet grown in faith. All of us are not at the same level of maturity to hear from God, to hear everything God wants to tell us personally. Yeah, I hope you understand. Yeah, so that's the difference. So now, coming back to our teaching. You know, that was a diversion. That's not the topic. Yeah. Now, coming back to the topic, I said we have idols in the heart. Idols in the heart. And I've read from Ezekiel 14, verse 4, how God told Ezekiel that those that have set idols in their hearts have put a stumbling block of iniquity. for themselves. And not only that, whenever they come to the prophet, so which in this case we can say whenever they come to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit would speak to them according to the multitude of their idols. Yeah, so idols in our hearts affect our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, idols in the hearts of Christians affects our relationship with the Holy Spirit. They will not make us know God. It will give power to the darkness that don't want you to know God personally when you begin to have idols in your heart. Now you might be asking, what? How can I have idols in my heart? What are idols in the heart? Of course, you know, anything you have set up in your mind and you cannot stop thinking about it. You're always thinking about it. And that thing is getting all of your attention and focus. You're so desperate to have that thing, to achieve that thing, to become that thing. Yeah, to the point that you are even seeking God. I mean, that is why you seek God. You don't seek God for any other thing. You don't seek God to know God. You don't seek God to please God. You don't seek Him to ask Him to help you please Him, to help you become like Christ, like Jesus Christ in nature. You don't seek God for any other thing, but it's just only that thing you are always seeking God for. That is an idol. Yeah, that is an idol. Yeah, it's so strong in your mind that you're always thinking about it. And you want to have it. Yeah, by all means, you're always laboring just to have it. And you don't even care whether it lines up with the will of God or not. And you don't even care whether God wants you to have that thing at this time or not. That is an idol. Yeah. And that will not let you know God. That is going to destroy your relationship with God. You can't keep that idol and know God. I thank God for how He delivered me from so many things. And these idols in the heart was one of the things that I'll forever be grateful to God for removing from my life. Yeah. Because at the point, God began to speak to me according to the idols in my heart. And the voice would be so clear. It would be the same way I hear from God, so clear. But it is not the voice of God. It came as the voice of God. But it is not the voice of God. And it came with all strength and assurance. The same way God will speak to me and I will be so sure. That is the same way those idols came and they spoke. They spoke and their voices was so clear and it was so strong. And I made some mistakes following those idols. Yeah, because God was teaching me a lesson in a very hard way. I made mistakes and I regret. Yeah, but thank God I'm free. But are you free? Are you free from these idols? Yeah, because every time I would pray at that time, I would hear the voice that is saying, yes, that is it. The voice would be saying, that high door is the will of God. I should go ahead and do it. Yeah. And I did those things and I went into serious troubles. Yeah. So you must get rid of these idols. Yeah, because it will confuse your life. It will confuse your vision, confuse your dreams, and you won't be able to get you'll be able to be led by the Spirit correctly. Yeah, because those idols will be the ones speaking. Just as what God said in this place. God told Ezekiel that he will answer that person according to the multitude of his idols so that he can destroy that person. Yeah. So God will speak to you according to your idols because God is judging you. And he wants you to be chastised. He's chastising you. He wants you to go and learn a lesson after you have followed your idols. Yeah, and some people, even while they learned the lesson, they still continued and they were destroyed eventually. Yeah. We have people who have married the person they are not supposed to marry because of these idols, the emotions, the feelings they had for that person was so strong, such that when they prayed and said, God, is this man, is this woman the right person for me to marry? They were getting visions and dreams, confirming, saying, yes, it is the man, it is the woman. Go ahead, marry the person. And today they are suffering. Yeah, because they followed their idols. I pray that the Lord would deliver you, that the power of the Lord rescue you and liberate you from idols. In the heart, in your heart, in your mind, in Jesus' name. So now let's move to the second point. The first point was idols in the heart. The second is idol of money. The idol of money. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, the idol of money. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have heard from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Idol of money. So people will say, how can I be in this world and be able to survive without loving money? Can anyone do without spending money? Yeah, so they would say that scripture is a parable, is not to be interpreted as it sounds. I'm telling you what some pastors will say. They say, how is it possible that you don't love money? You have to make money, you have to survive, you have to spend money. So why would you say that love of money is the root of all evil? So they say we have to love money. It's just that I don't know how they used to put it, but don't listen to such people. There is no other meaning to this verse. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10 is just the same. Yeah, sometimes we go into error because we don't accept the Bible as it is. We don't receive the the love of money is the root of all evil. That is it. Yeah, there's no other explanation about it. You love money, get ready for evil. Get ready for sorrow. Yeah. And get ready to backslide. That is it. You love money, you will have sorrows. And you will backslide. That is, you will fall away from being a Christian, from being a child of God. Yeah. Yeah. That is it. The love of money is the root of all evil. So, this verse is telling us that you must not love money. Only use money. Use it. Don't love it. Use it. The difference between love and use. So Christians are to use money. As God blesses them, they use it to do the will of God. They use it for the will of God. They use it for the work of God. They use it for the purposes of God. They use it to feed themselves, use it to keep themselves surviving. Yeah, that is it. But not that you love it that you can't give anymore because so much you love that money. It's now your God. You love it so much that you can't spend time with God anymore. Or there's no time for me to be breaking these things down. Yeah, we don't have much time left. But I believe you understand what I'm saying. So there are people who love money to the point that they no longer are able to spend time with God. They don't attend church meetings anymore. They cannot attend weekly meetings anymore. Yeah, you know, some churches, they have weekly meetings. Some churches, they meet on maybe Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. Some churches meet like 3 times during the week before Sunday. Yeah, so these Christians, they can no longer attend weekly meetings because they are working to earn money. Yeah, they can no longer spend time with God because by the time they would come back from work, they're already tired. So they just sleep. And when they wake up the following morning, they just pray like 10 minutes or 15 minutes prayer, and then they rush out again. You are serving money. If you are like that, you're not serving God. Yeah, it's money you're serving. So when you can no longer grow spiritually because you are looking for money, you can no longer give sacrificially because you don't want the money to finish. I'm telling you signs that you love money. Yeah. Those are the signs that you love money. That you fit inside this scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10. Yeah, that's number 2. You love money so much that you can no longer give sacrificially because you don't want the money to reduce. You want to always open your your bank account and see those figures lined up. Yeah, that's number 2. And then you love money so much that you begin to spend long hours in your place of work. Or you begin to do many jobs. Some people, they do 3 jobs at a time. Yeah, and much of your hours, in every 24 hour God has given you, you use it towards making money. Then you are serving money. You don't love God. Yeah. As an idol. Yeah. It's money you are serving. Yeah. Not God. Yeah. So there are, of course, many other signs. people, they see a need in the house of God, in the church of God, in the ministry of God, and they prefer to satisfy their own need first, neglecting the need in the house of God. Maybe they need television in the house of God. They will first buy their own television first. That is love of money. When you don't put God first in your money, you put yourself first. Yeah, that is love of money. You can't pay tithe. That is love of money. Yeah. That is idolatry. So that is how we worship idols in today's church or today's Christianity. Yeah. There's no time for me to give more examples. So let's move to the third idol. The idol of beauty. That is the idol of beauty. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Yeah, this is the prophecy of Apostle Paul telling of things that are already happening today. So he said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. So we have people who have idolized their beauty, their appearance, their look. So they are so conscious of their appearance, yeah, that they wear that beauty. Should I say wear? Yeah, they put themselves on themselves everywhere they go. They wear that beauty everywhere they go. Yeah, I don't know how to put it for you to get what I'm trying to show you. So these people, they fill themselves with themselves, or they fill themselves with the love of themselves. So they love themselves so much that they are so conscious of their beauty everywhere they go. So when they are walking on the streets, they are watching if people are really looking at them and if people are really admiring their look. Yeah. They put on all manner of things, paint their faces, put on jewelries, do all kinds of makeups, cosmetics, put on artificial hair, false hair, hair attachments. They put all of those things on because they so much love themselves. So they have idolized themselves. They are worshipping their appearance. And of course, we also have people that they don't really use all these artificial things, but they are also worshiping themselves. So, and they show it by their proud looking. Yeah, so they feel like I look more beautiful than every other person. So what are you saying? How can you just talk to me like that? See how you look. See what you're wearing. Yeah, you don't even have what I have. See my body. How can you compare yourself with me? That is idolatry. Yeah, that's idolatry. Some women, they ended up marrying the wrong person because they have idolized their beauty. So they feel like, I mean, when God was showing them the person you want them to marry. They're like, is it me and that one? How do we even, how do we match? We don't even match. May God deliver our generation. So, this idol of beauty has destroyed many. And is still destroying many. Beware. So, let's move to the next idol. Number four, which is the idol of pleasures. The idol of pleasures. So now, if you read verse 4 of this same chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 says, traitors, that is, in the last days, which is now, we're going to have traitors, people that are heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. So when you love pleasures so much that you can put God aside to enjoy yourself first, as some people will say, this life that I have come is just only one life. Let me enjoy myself to the fullest. God, I will come back to have time for God. Prayer, I will come back to have time for prayer. Bible study, I will come back to have time for that. Let me enjoy my life. I can't come to this life and suffer. Let me just enjoy my life to the fullest. Beware. Lovers of pleasures than lovers of God. Beware. Yeah. Because there are some pleasures people now serve. It has become idols. They can't resist those pleasures. And they will perish through those pleasures. They can no longer deny those pleasures. They can no longer resist those pleasures when the temptation comes or when the desire comes from inside of them. And that is the pleasure that will destroy them. Yeah. That is the pleasure that will destroy them. So we have people who are lovers of pleasures than lovers of God. You want to gain their attention. Just give them that pleasure they like. They are ready to sit down with you all day. Lovers of pleasures than lovers of God. You want to keep them away from the Bible, from studying the Bible. Just put on put some movies. Yeah, just start showing them some movies. They are ready to sit down with that movie all throughout the day. Yeah, lovers of pleasures than lovers of God. Beware. Now, the last idol is number five, the last idol that many Christians worship today. Is the idol of miracles. The idol of miracles. I think I've said it before. Yeah. That those who are only seeking God for visible miracles, they will not be able to make heaven because they will be deceived. They will fall. Yeah. So perhaps that are not visible, like the transformation God does in our souls. And that is the miracles I wish everyone will seek after. Yeah, the deliverance from the power of sin. That is a miracle. But how many people are seeking for that one? To be delivered from the nature of sin. To be delivered from hunger, pride, unforgiving spirit, and all of those internal deliverances. Now let's look at John chapter 6, verse 25 to 27. Then we'll round off the Bible study. John chapter 6, verse 25 to 27. And when they had found him, that is Jesus, the people, when they had found Jesus on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? 26, John chapter 6, verse 25 to 27. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Now you know this story, for those of you that are Bible students. After Jesus had done the miracle, if you read from the verse 1 of this chapter, this John chapter 6, after Jesus had done the miracle of feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Yeah, so those people saw him again in verse 25. They saw him again. And when Jesus looked at them, like they saw him and they were like, wow, we have been looking for you all this while. We did not see you. We did not know how to find you. So when Jesus looked at them, he knew in his spirit that they were not looking for him to hear about the kingdom of God. Yeah, because Jesus was doing miracles so that people will seek to know where are these miracles coming from. Jesus was doing miracles so that people will have that hunger to know, what has this man come to show us? What has this man come to tell us? Why is he doing all these miracles? So Jesus was doing miracles so that people will come to learn about the kingdom of God. Yeah, that people will come and seek him. And every time they come like that, Jesus will begin to teach them. Yeah, so Jesus was not doing miracles because the people need miracles. That was not the main reason. Don't forget that Jesus has been in Jerusalem. He has been in Israel. Yeah, he has been in Israel for how many years? For up to 30 years. And he was not doing any miracle. Haven't you thought about that? That Jesus had been in Israel for up to 30 years and he was not doing any miracle. It wasn't that there was no power to do miracle. There was power. In fact, I believe Jesus has been ready since maybe age 12. Jesus has been ready to do any miracle. Yeah. It's not that there was no power available. Yeah, but it's a sign that he has not just come to do miracles. That's he didn't come to do miracles. I don't know if I'm getting what I'm saying. Yeah, because during those time he was growing up in Israel. Growing up as a child, then he became a teenager, then he became a youth. Yeah, till he become an adult. Yeah. People have died untimely. And Jesus did not do anything. Have you thought of that? A lot of people have died of sicknesses and diseases. Jesus did not do anything. Yeah, for up to 30 years. So he was waiting for his time to be revealed to Israel. Yeah, so he didn't do any miracle because he did not come to do just miracles. He came to do more than that. Yeah, to show the people the kingdom, to bring the people into the kingdom, to give the people new life, to make the people new creatures. Yeah. So Jesus was doing miracles to attract those crowds so that he can begin to show them why he actually have come to them. Yeah. So, but these people, they were not actually coming to learn. So they were not seeking him because they want to learn from him. Because they want to learn his ways, learn his kingdom, his truths. They were actually coming because they feel like, let him do that magic. That magic he did the other time when he multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. So they were like, let's find this guy. Let us follow him. At least, maybe some of them feel like, all this while I've been doing farming, I've been doing fishing, I've not really made money. Even to eat is a problem. So now we have found this guy. He can multiply 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he can use it to feed thousands of people. Let us look for him. Let him keep doing that magic. And then every one of us will be fine. No, there will be no more hunger. So they were just looking for miracles. They were not looking for God. Yeah, they were not looking for the God of the miracles. They were just looking for the miracles. So they don't care about pleasing God. They don't care about knowing God. They don't care about serving God. They just want the miracles. So that was why Jesus told them that. In verse 27, he said, labor for the meat. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. So Jesus is saying, don't look for the food that will perish. All these miracles, healing, deliverance, prosperity, breakthroughs, all of those, maybe 95% of all of these miracles that the Holy Ghost is doing in the church, they will all perish. They will end in this world. I hope you know that. Yeah. No matter how many times Jesus heals you, you are still going to die. Except if the rapture happens before you die. You will still die, you know. We will all die if the rapture tarries. Yeah. We all die. So the same body Jesus is healing every time you pray, that same body will still die and go to the grave. So all of this, the same money you receive today, when is the time you are leaving this earth, you will drop the money, the car, the houses, you will drop all of them, the connections, the breakthroughs, the wealth. They will all perish with this world. Yeah. So, but Jesus is looking for people that will seek for what will not perish. What will not perish. Praise the Lord. But look at our generation today. They are busy seeking for the things that will perish. And some, when they have stayed in a church for some time, I know people that have been part of this ministry since when we started, but when they discovered that we are not always talking about miracles, prosperity, we are not always praying for that. So they felt like I don't think I belong here. So they left. Yeah, and I'm happy they left. Yeah, so that they will not transmit the disease of miracle seeking to other members. Yeah. So you need to be wise and seek the kingdom. Seek the God of the miracles and not the miracles. May the Lord give you more understanding. So I'm going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on our Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for showing us from your word different kinds of idols and how much you would want us to run away from these idols. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone who have listened to this teaching to be aware, to be careful, to be very sensitive to every appearance of these idols in their lives. I ask, O Lord, that you equip them with fire to discern immediately these idols are rising up in their souls and minds and cut them off instantly. Oh Lord, give everyone here that fire and grace in Jesus' name. I pray for you that devil will not take advantage of any of your idols to deceive you and mislead you out of God's way. In the name of Jesus. And I pray that the grace to repent now, not tomorrow, but now, of every idol you have been pampering for years in your heart. Receive that grace to repent in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.
Goodbye.